Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us for the first time, Congresswoman Laura Gillian. Congresswoman Laura Gillian is currently serving her first term in Congress representing the people of New York's 4th Congressional District. The district includes Nassau County's South Shore. After graduating college, Gillian volunteered on the front lines of the AIDS crisis and Mother Teresa's Home for the Dying in India. She attended law school at Georgetown Law Center and NYU Law School. She worked as a litigator with Cahill, Gordon, and Rendell LLP, where she participated in the firm's pro bono program representing victims of domestic violence. In 2017, Congresswoman Gillian served as the first Democrat to be elected to the town of Hempstead supervisor in 112 years. She took aim at waste and corruption. Gillian led efforts to revitalize the town's infrastructure while bringing taxes down for the residents and passing critical legislation relating to sexual harassment and veterans benefits. Now in Congress, Representative Gillian serves on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. She also sits on the Subcommittee in Highways and Transit and the Subcommittee on Aviation, the Subcommittee on Water Resources and Environment, and the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Congresswoman Gillian is a Baldwin native and lives with her family in Rockville Center. Wow. There's a lot of questions I could ask you. I could keep you here for an hour with all those committees, but we only have a short period of time. So tell us about your experience as a freshman member in Congress. What has surprised you?
Well, I mean, this has probably been one of the most unusual Congresses that we've ever faced, where we have one after the other crazy executive orders coming out of this administration, mass firings, we're approaching a constitutional crisis. So it's definitely not been a boring Congress. I'm really honored and privileged to serve the people of the 4th Congressional District. I'm glad that we, with the help of the Teamsters, we flipped this seat. We got the seat back. We flipped it from red to blue. I'm glad to be a voice to advocate for labor in the House. And then there's just the regular experience of being a freshman is starting to get into the rhythm of having my DC time versus my district time. I put together a really great staff and just looking forward to being able to serve the constituents that I represent.
Okay. I'm a member of the 4th Congressional District. So I'm actually a constituent.
Yay. Well, I'm glad to have you. And I look forward to talking about how we can work together.
Sure. You recently participated in the congressional panel that questioned New York City Mayor Adams on allegations that he may be compromised running New York City effectively due to the issue of illegal immigrants and concerns that was a quid pro quo offered by the Trump administration. What was that hearing like?
It was a pretty tense hearing. There were lots of questions, directed at all the mayors, but I focused mostly on just asking Mayor Adams. He's gone back to ask for another $1 billion from the way he mishandled, in my estimation, the migrant crisis. And this is having a real direct impact on the taxpayers of the state of New York. I think he's been distracted from his job by the various things that have happened. And I don't think he should get a get out of jail free card to do his job. I think there's nothing that he said that gave me any confidence that he is able to effectively continue to govern our city, or the city of New York, I should say. I've made it very clear that I do think that Mayor Adams should resign. But everything that happens in New York City impacts my constituents. You know that. We go to the city for work or for entertainment or for dinner, go to the doc. So many people go to the doctor there. Many people, you know, go and have their kids live there. So what happens in New York City really does have an impact. And of course, every taxpayer in the state of New York is going to foot the bill for this mismanagement. And so I think it is our city. It's all of our city.
New York City is the driving engine for the state. It's also the driving engine for the country, because you have Wall Street here.
Correct.
And you also, it's for the world at that fact. And you also have the United Nations. So the mayor of New York City is an important job. Yes.
Very important job.
Yeah, it's very
we need
important
a mayor
job.
Who can focus on solving problems, not
right.
dealing with multiple scandals.
Okay. And let me ask you, why. There was something that happened last week. There was a vote, and I got a lot of questions, and somebody wanted me to ask you one question. The vote to censor Congressman Al Green, what was your thought process on that?
You know, I was really upset when I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert heckling President Biden, and I thought they should be censured. And I think that we have to have a level of civility in the House of Representatives, and that the standards have to be evenly applied on both sides. It's regrettable that the Republicans don't seem to think that they need to enforce the levels of civility except against Democrats, but I think that it should be even-handed. And so that's why I did vote to censure Congressman Green, because you know, if this situation was reversed and the person delivering the State of the Union address was Kamala Harris, and you know, someone from the other side, take your pick, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Nancy Mace, anyone was heckling her, you bet I would vote to censure them. And I think all of my constituents would want me to do that.
Okay, well, there's our answer. But you know, it's being an adult in the room, especially in Congress, has become a rare thing. And I'm very disappointed, because I can remember you had ideologies, but decorum was the rule of the day.
That's right.
And we've lost that. And these individuals, and that's why it's important to have people with character in positions of importance, because it matters. No matter what position you have, character matters. Decorum matters. Tradition matters.
I agree.
So that being said, you know, we can argue about policy. Policy is always debated, but quorum is something we shouldn't argue about, because we are teaching our young people to do the same. And if we continue on this road, we won't be allowed anywhere in this world with our behavior.
Right. And hyperpartisanship is preventing us from getting good work done for the American people. So we need to just stop the hate towards the other side and start getting things done. Now, that doesn't mean I condone what's coming out of this White House. There's a lot of extraordinarily troubling things going on, and we need to push back, but we need to push back in an effective, strong manner.
Well, when I see and hear about cuts to our veterans, cuts to Social Security, cuts to Medicare, these are individuals who overwhelmingly voted for this administration. And unfortunately, they're taking it right in the gut.
Yes.
And when you punch your constituents, the people who voted for you, what would you do for the rest? So I got to say, the people who voted for him have to be the ones that have to speak out loudest, because they voted for him. So, and I believe it's going to happen. I believe
well,
it's going to happen.
And during the speech, the president talked about policemen and firemen and how they all love him. And I'll tell you, I did want to shout out, but our leader, Hakeem Jeffries, told us not to do such a thing. And so I wanted to shout out, well, they loved you, then why won't you fully fund the World Trade Center health program? They cut it in the last CR. And now in this new spending bill that they're going to have us vote on, they've kept the funding levels the same, but they haven't increased the funding. So that means that fund is going to run out of money. So that is turning your backs on the hardworking first responders, policemen, firemen, and just the ordinary citizens who lived in the shadow of the World Trade Center who are now dying horrible deaths from cancer from the toxins that were released from that tragedy and from the collapse of those buildings. So that's just one example of the many, many people that this administration is callously turning their backs on.
Well, I hope my friends, brothers and sisters in the fire department and police department remember that.
Yes.
Because I can say I saw it coming. And unfortunately, I was here, actually, where I am now, when the World Trade Center fell down. And we actually watched it from our roof. And we could see the building collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that day. It was a clear day. It was an election day. It was a primary day.
Yes.
So I remember that. Like the back of my hand. So
I do as well. I saw it from my window. I was on my way to go to work just a couple blocks away, and I saw the first plane hit and didn't go to work.
No, it was unfortunate. And I was thinking about going home. Then I said, well, I don't know what's going to happen to the bridges. I don't know what's going to happen to the tunnel. I don't know what's going to happen to the subways. So I'm going to stay here in the office until we figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
That was a solemn day.
Why
is it so important for you to stand with labor and working people?
Look, labor is the backbone of our economy. Only through the efforts and the successes of organized labor have we created a steady and consistent pathway for the middle class. And now making sure we stand with organized labor is more important than ever. The cost of a college education is so outrageously expensive. There are many people who their only choice is either to take on hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt or try to find an alternate path. Yesterday, I went and visited an apprentice school for the local 638 steam fitters. The training that is going on there is amazing. We need to support apprenticeship programs like this that give young people a pathway to a really good career that they can live and support their families and make a decent living wage and retire with dignity. My father was a steam fitter. My father-in-law, I should say, was a steam fitter. And he was able to enjoy his golden years because of the fight that the people of the men and women of labor put in before he got there, and the fight that still continues. And that's why I am proud to co-sponsor the PRO Act and will fight for the men and women of labor every day.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, the very first time, very special guest, Congresswoman Laura Gillian from the 4th Congressional District in New York. What lessons have you taken in your role this short period of time?
The lesson is to try to reach across the aisle when you can to get things done for your residents. So I'm on two committees. I'm on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, as well as the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. These are both committees that are really important to my district, and they're committees that are known to be more bipartisan than some of the other committees like Oversight, where you see, you know, a lot of bombs being chucked across the aisle all day long. Transportation and infrastructure is something that, you know, both Republicans need good roads, bridges, clean water, just as much as Democrats do. I was just at a water subcommittee hearing today talking about the need to clean up the legacy contamination in the water supply in our district, and asking my colleagues to help make sure that we fund that. And so I think there's going to be an opportunity for me to work with Republicans on the other side to get things done. So I think it's important to build those relationships outside of all of the hyper-partisanship that you see in the news and again, like a lot of the subcommittees that have more partisan battles going on. It's important to also remember that you still have to try to work with these folks at the end of the day and then push back when you need to, like on this spending bill that we're going to vote on today, that it has dramatic cuts that are going to negatively impact my district. And so there's a time and a place to push back as well with the dramatic overreach of the executive branch that is happening right now. They are slowly trying to shut down the government without even having a government shutdown.
We're in a purple district in the congressional district of New York Congressional District 4. How do you think you could bring people together and move away from super partisanship?
Again, it's through this work on my committees. I am trying to make sure that I have colleagues for, I'm on the space subcommittee, and the Republican chair of the space subcommittee actually grew up in the 4th congressional district. Now he represents a district in Florida, but we have a very nice rapport. And so we're going to work together to try to just deliver and try to, if, the more we can look at the other side, not as like a party, but as a person, I think the more we'll be able to move forward. And I think that's one of the ways that that we do that.
Oh, who is the person that moved the floor?
Oh, it's Congressman Haridopoulos, Mike Haridopoulos from Florida. I forget.
Okay. What he said, but no, just ask, just in case I knew his name or knew him when he lived here. There's a bipartisan infrastructure law that's important to the Teamsters and other unions for many reasons. As Congress looks at reauthorized surface transportation programs, how will you use your seat in transportation and infrastructure to accomplish these goals?
Again, that is an incredibly important bill. We have a tremendous amount of need in the 4th Congressional District, and that is why I am trying to take the politics out of it and just try to work with my colleagues on my committee to make sure I can bring the funding back to the district and get those projects going, which will provide jobs and much needed correction to our aging infrastructure. But I think there's a tremendous opportunity for us to get something really good done for the American people. And that's what the people, I think, of my purple district want. They want members of Congress to come down here and get things done to improve their lives. They don't care about the fighting. They want to see results, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Now, one thing that we see in the news, we want to change gears. Tell us the importance of the United States Post Office, because I know the importance, because mail is regulated, mail gets delivered. If you privatize the post office, the public will be at the mercy of everybody to deliver their packages for exorbitant amount of money. So the U.S. Post Office was created by the government, and it's worked, and it continues to work.
I think preserving the U.S. Postal Service is crucial. It provides, again, a good career for the men and women who work there. And it's something that we cherish as Americans. We like, I mean, I know the people in the post office that I go, I know them by name. I really enjoy going. It's a nice experience to go and see them. And it also, as you say, keeps the cost of postage down, because it's not a for-profit enterprise. And so if we lose that, we could see prices to just mail a package to a loved one go up exponentially. I think it provides a real check from price gouging by other mail and courier services. And if we lose that check, then there's nothing really to keep them and from raising prices dramatically.
Yeah, and it's important. Now, I look at people cheering government jobs disappearing. One, they don't understand what the government does for them, because government is not a glamorous job. It's there to work for the people. Two, government is not there to make a profit. This is not a business. This is supposed to be doing the business of the people. And three, putting people out of work, they go on unemployment, so they get less money. There's less money to moving the economy, they're not going to pay taxes, and there's a whole ripple effect that people haven't even thought out. It sounds good. I mean, taking a hammer and smashing something sounds good. I'm in the rage room. I'm breaking everything in the rage room, except life is not rage. And you, when you disrupt people's lives, you disrupt your life too, because when people don't have anything to do, they focus on you. So I'm looking at so many people across the nation, and it's not hurting the major cities as people think. It's going to hurt the rural areas, the hospitals in rural areas, the places where I would say middle America lives. So they haven't thought that out very well. They haven't thought of that out at all.
I mean, look, when I was the Hempstead Town Supervisor, I made it a top priority to eliminate waste and fraud and abuse in that local government. But I did it in a very deliberative, thoughtful way, and not with a wrecking ball, which is what's happening right now. I mean, which these indiscriminate firings, just mass firings. First of all, it's not humane for people. A lot of people chose to go into federal government because it provided a good salary, maybe not as much as they'd make in the private sector, but it was supposed to be a good, steady job, with security that would provide the benefits that they needed for their family. It seems that the long-term effects of these mass firings is not even being considered. It's just so they can make some headlines when they fired the people who are guarding our nuclear stockpile. And then they said, oh, whoops, that was a mistake. We probably need those people back. But then they deleted their information from the federal records, so they didn't even know how to find the people that they just fired. That's crazy that something like that would happen. And there's example after example of people like this that they are firing, people who run the VA. There was just a story in the local paper about someone who provides mental health services to veterans. We know that there's a mental health crisis across our country, not just for veterans, for young people, for seniors, for most people. We have a real mental health crisis in this country. And, our veterans are the people who served us, and we're supposed to be taking care of them. And to see folks like that being fired just because they're probationary employees is it's really short-sighted, and it's going to have some very bad effects.
Now, I saw that you're on the transportation committee also. Are we going to have hearings on the accidents that are occurring in the air and
Yes.
on the ground too?
We have been having, I sit on the aviation subcommittee, and we had a hearing last week about safety in our skies and even some of these cuts, and not just air traffic controllers, but there's a whole host of people who keep our airports secure and keep our flights and airplanes safe. And we need to make sure that we are investing more, not cutting to those areas. And I think we've seen so many incidents in the past month that now it's got the public's attention. So I'm hoping that public attention will make sure that my colleagues agree that we need to be investing in not firing air traffic controllers, not moving them to remote locations so that we're disincentivizing people from going into that field, and that we're supporting the trades that keep our airports secure, that keep our flights running on time, and keep our airplane infrastructure and air travel infrastructure safe.
Well, I have to say, you have a tremendous responsibility, and we're going to trust you with that because you are elected. And anything you need from us, we're a phone call away, train ride away.
Well, I appreciate the support I've gotten from the Teamsters in the past. I look forward to working with you again, and look forward to continuing this dialogue. And of course, my office is always a phone call away in DC, and my district office is in the district in Garden City, and we're, glad to welcome any Teamsters there anytime.
Thank you. You've been listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory
Thank you.
Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Very special guest, Congresswoman Laura Gillen. Thank you very much for coming on Reaching Out.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.